Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you want to be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, 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 girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
My name is Yemsof Arif, and this is Real Talk for Real People show. My apologies for the dog in the background. You know, if something goes wrong, it's bound to happen. Now, excuse me for a minute. My apologies, everybody. Somebody dropped by at the blue. The dog had good reason to be barking. Okay? And I don't know why people just stop by your house like that. Hey, hey, bro. Catch it. Maybe he's talking about the water. I don't know. Maybe he's talking about the water. I don't care who stopped it. All right, my apologies again. As I said, somebody dropped by unannounced. If it's just a solicitor, it's going to be some problems. If it's somebody about the water, we're okay. Again, I apologize. This is Real Talk for Real People show. My name is Yom Suf Arif. And you may be wondering, what is the Real Talk for Real People show? The Real Talk for Real People show is about the study of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. It's given a bird's eye view, a critical analysis, and our assessment, leaving no stone or leaf unturned and crossing every T and dotting every I. We've been studying in the book of Jeremiah and in the Psalms. Oh, okay. Okay, no, we don't want to talk to him. Let me come, tell him, don't come by here unsolicited. You need to put a sign up. My apologies again for the third time. And as I said, we'll study the book of Jeremiah, chapter 48, and Psalms 48. And as Katria always said, they're always synchronized in our studies. And if you may be wondering who Cartrell is, Cartrell is your lead student in these studies in the book of Psalms 48, and I am your lead student in the book of Jeremiah. Cartrell is from New York City. And Cartrell, known by his studies that he applied his study in his life. And when he was 14 years old, he was feeling some sort of way about his life and it was having personal problems. And he utilized the Most High Word and applied the Most High Word to his life. And here he is today because of the application, not simply because of the study. You must apply the Word of Yah in your lives. Cartrell, as a young man, he was feeling some sort of way about himself, you know, for his heights are concerned, because he got into and his work, and he was a carpenter, and come to find out, y'all bear with me for one. For the fifth time, I do apologize. Bear with us. And now, as far as when Cartier was a young man, going into his work, he come to find out as a carpenter, he was to do things involved with heights. And come to find out he has some trepidations about heights. And there again, he went to the Most High, as we all should be doing. And he seek the Most High for covering, for as his fears were concerned, and the Most High helped override his fear. And he was able to do his job for 30 plus years. Why I say this is say this, because of the fact the Most High Word is a key and a clue into what you could do. Making the right applications and so on and so forth. And he used the right application for as the Most High Word is concerned. And so just studying alone is not sufficient. You must apply the Most High Word in your lives. Study alone is good, but application of one's study is far better. Then you have Sister Hootie from Detroit, Michigan. And also, for as her life is concerned, she has a unique way of using the Most High Word, a template, and applying it to her life and seeing others' life through the Most High word, that template. So Savia, she is our point person, so to speak, and she has a way of keeping us in line because we're elders and sometimes we get off the reservation and digress. And because of such, she's able to pull us back onto the reservation, so to speak. So we have a good group of student hosts, and we are due diligent, morally bound and duty bound to do no less as far as the Most High Word is concerned. And let me give you a bit of foundation as far as the Most High Word is concerned, as far as Jeremiah. You must understand that the Moab came as a result of Lot. After the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, daughters getting him inebriated and having in sexual relationship with him. In order, they thought the world was over with, falling into, you know, you got to understand what they were thinking. Not because they wanted to, they did it to protect their heritage. And so his oldest daughter, by virtue of that incestuous relationship, had the elder son, which is Moab. And the youngest had the youngest son, which is Amnon. They are cousins. They are Shemitic people. All Shemitic people are not Hebrew Israelites, but they are Shemitic people. And as a result of that relationship, they have this innate grown-in animosity toward us. I don't know for what reason. I'm not a Moabite, so I don't know why they have this innate. And sometimes, most often, they look remotely like us. So if you're in this Western Hemisphere and you have some people that have animosity toward you, they may very well be Moabites. They may well be your kinfolks. And it was an ongoing antagonistic relationships. And not all of them were bad, but for the most part, a lot of them were. And they tried to get us cursed by Balaam when they found us crossing into the Canaan. During our crossing into Canaan, they tried to get us cursed by Balaam, and it turned against them. We have always had an antagonistic relationship with the Moabites. They've always been instrumental in leading us astray, because that's how we are. We're easily led astray, and because they are cousins, we thought, I guess, they had our best interests at heart. Their chief god was Chemosh. They're polygod people. They believe in a lot of gods, but one of their chief national gods was Chemosh. Little is known about Chemosh, other than that was their national god. A bit of notation, King David's grandmother was Ruth. And as you know, Ruth was a Moabite. But as I said, all Moabites aren't good Moabites, but for the most part, a lot of them are bad Moabites as far as I'm concerned. We are concerned being antagonistic against us, conspiring against us, and doing everything in their power to lead us astray from the Most High, which is most important while the Most High is bringing his judgment upon the Moabites. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Let me bring my co-host on. Sister Yehudi, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. How you doing?
Can't complain. Won't do no good. I'm just thankful to be here. Thank you, Most High, that I'm able to wake up and, as they say, smell the coffee.
Praise
God.
Thank you, sister. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Sister Avia from New York City, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family, and may the Most High bless us all, and all glory and praises to Yah. And I'm glad to be back. And Sister Hootie, it's too late in the evening for you to be messing with some coffee. You ain't going to sleep tonight.
I love her humor.
I love you, too.
She got you, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Sister Avia. It's good to have you back. Now, Cartriel from New York City. Cartriel, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How y'all doing? Good to hear your voices. I look forward to this part of the day, every day, just to pursue the word of Yah. Because ain't most people doing that, are they?
Well, we're doing it.
Yeah.
And that's important. We're doing it. So hallelujah. I'm thankful.
It's kind of refreshing, kind of enlightening, kind of uplifting when we get to this part of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy it. I really do. Yeah. Especially to hear your voices and knowing right. that there's other people out there whose heart is set on Yah.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't the only one. We ain't the only one. There's more of Yah's people out there whose heart is set on him.
That's right. We're going to be positive today.
Okay.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It ain't just Yah, our people.
Mm-hmm.
And we know this in every year.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Gabriel.
So we give thanks and praise for enlightenment, crystal clear vision, and the pursuit of the word of Yah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
you.
Right now.
Yes. Yeah. Y'all ready to get started? Katriel, Sister Hootie, Sister Abia?
We're always ready.
Okay. Hey, well, if you stay ready, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready.
Okay.
All right, chapter 48. Chapter 48 of Jeremiah, the judgment against our cousins, the Shemitic nation, the Wapali in their belief. Their chief god of their nation was Shemos, and they had many others too.
So Yamsu.
Yes.
You gave us the layout of our cousin Moab, who came from
right.
Lot.
Right.
And we hear a lot from the word conspiracy today, right?
Exactly.
And our cousin Moab, who's our family, like you said, from jump, we came out of Egypt, out of captivity, and here come our cousin trying to curse us, trying to do us in.
They still
and
are.
They still their are. Envy and their jealousy of us, right, continues. So
right.
we have to know the conspiracy, which is in the 83rd Psalm, where
right.
Moab, Ishmael, Ammon, Esau, and other nations were a part of destroying us as a nation.
Exactly.
And what you wish upon us is going to happen to you. And that's what we're about to read, because you thought to destroy us as a nation. Guess what the Most High has in store for you, Moab, Ammon, Ishmael, Edom, because he got judgment for all of them.
Exactly.
We read about the judgment against the Hamites. Now Yah's bringing it close to home. Your cousins, the Moabites, Ammonites, Ishmaelites, Edomites, got judgment for them, for their conspiracy against us as a nation, which exists to this day. Because they still continue to try to keep us from our true heritage, our true identity. That's why we're walking around calling ourselves Black, Negro, Colored, African-American, Black Lives Matter. They never want us to know who we really are.
And that's
Muslim,
why I said,
Bob, right.
And that's why I said, Katja, I have good reason to believe this. They're mixed among us. And so when you see the chaos and confusion among us, they're mixed among us. They're the one that's readily seeing Black, African American, so on and so forth, joining in the governmental conspiracy with this Western Hemisphere and culture. Because
so the key thing that we got to keep in mind, Yamsu,
mm-hmm.
is that there are people that they call Arabs, right?
Right.
And when you look up the word Arab, it means a mixture of peoples. Okay.
Exactly.
And the Arabs are Moab, Arad, Ammon, Ishmael, because they're not nations today, are they?
No.
Moab is gone. You try to destroy us as a nation, but guess what happened to you? Is there a Moabite nation today?
No, not at all. Not unified.
Or
in the
Ammon, you call a Numnites? Is there a Numnite nation today?
No, they're not a Numnuts a numb nut and a united term of nation, but they are scattered and a loosely conglomerate of doing the very same they did consolidated as nations.
Exactly. Is there a nation of Esau today?
Not in the term of a nation, as we call a nation today, but they're a loose conglomerate of the same people that called the same problem back in the day.
So what I'm trying to convey is that in that 83rd Psalm, where our family members, Moab, our cousin, Ammon, our cousin, Ishmael, our cousin, Esau, our brother, conspired to destroy us as a nation. And all those who sat down at that round table, they're not nations today. See, Arabs and Jews. See, the Jews is our brother trying to take over our portion, which is found in Obadiah. The story is laid out. They can't hide nothing like we couldn't hide nothing. Most High lays them out. And we're reading about the judgment of the nations and our family, our cousins, our brother, who is part of those nations.
And that's certainly the case. And that's why these studies and central to you understanding our historical perspectives and how it has a drastic impact upon us today, a domino effect as a result, and a continuum from them. They hadn't stopped. We just forgot. That being said.
And don't it feel good to know what's what, who's who, and what had happened?
Yeah, exactly. It is good. And you're not confused about anything.
Okay.
Right. Thank you, Katriel, for laying that out for us. Let's get busy, shall we? The Most High says, against Moab, thus said Yah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel. Woe to Nebo, one of their regions in their land, for it is plundered. Kirjatham, one of their regions, is shamed and taken. The high stronghold is shamed, because they live in a mountainous territory, and dismayed. No more praise of Moab and Heshbon. They have devised evil against her. Who is the her? Israel, us. Come and let us cut her off, they were saying in reference to us as a nation. You also should be cut off, O madmen, Yah says to them. You cut my people off? I'm going to make sure you get cut off, O madmen. The sword shall pursue you. A voice of crying shall be heard.
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay. Now go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
So the Most High immediately brings to mind his conspiracy. He says the praise of Moab is no more. In Heshbon, they have devised evil against her. Like you said, who's her? Children of Israel.
Right.
What did they say in that conspiracy? Come, let's cut her off from being a nation. That's why our people are walking around here now talking about the African-American, Negro, colored, black, Muslim, prophet, sinner, Jehovah's Witness. We don't know that we're a nation. And even the Israelites that know that they Israel don't recognize that we have to act like a nation in exile.
Great point, Katriel. Great point. Thank you. A voice of crying shall be heard from Horonom, one of their regions. Plundering and great destruction. Moab is destroyed. Her little ones have caused a cry to be heard. The ascents of Lut, they ascend with continual weeping. Like I said, they stayed in a mountainous area. For in the descent of Horonom, the enemies have heard a cry of destruction. Flee, save your lives. Be like the Jupiter in the wilderness. For because you have trusted in your works, your own hands, and your treasures, you also shall be taken, because you rely not on Yah, but on the handiwork of your hand and your riches. And what I tell you about that God, that national God, and Shamos shall go forth into captivity. Your God going to go forth into captivity with. Ain't nobody talking about Shamos no more, their national God. As I said, they had plenty more, but that's what the national God. His priest, this Shamos, his princes together, and the plunderer shall come against every city. No one shall escape. The body also shall perish, that mountainous area, and the plain shall be destroyed where you live in. As Yah has spoken, give wings to Moab, that she may flee and get away. He had some feelings for Moab, in spite of her, for a city shall be desolate without any to dwell in them. Cursed is he who does the work Elohim deceitfully. These people, because obviously we're doing the work of the Most High deceitfully, just like some of us do deceitfully. Cursed is he who keeps...
So, Yansu,
yes.
Let's think about that, right?
Okay.
Because Moab's father is who?
Right.
Lot.
Exactly.
And Lot escaped Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because he knew the God of Abraham, didn't he?
Right.
That's why him and his two daughters escaped, because he knew the God of his uncle, Abraham.
Exactly.
His sons, Moab and Ammon, don't seem too much like they knew about who their father Lot depended on.
I think they knew, Contra. I think they knew, but they could care less. They valued what work they put into by virtue of their own hands, what they could, how they accumulated their wealth and so on. They placed no value in God for him. Right. They placed their value.
And the Most High gave them power, because you referred to Balaam. And Balaam had the power to bless or curse people. Right? That's why Balak, king of Moab, called him.
Right.
He said, curse this people, Israel. But Balaam said, I can't curse this people. Whom Yah has blessed is blessed. Whom Yah curse is going to be cursed. I can't curse them. It's not in my power to do that. But the Moabites thought they didn't have the power to bless and curse people, because they did. The only people they couldn't curse was us, because we had the Most High on our side.
Exactly. Thank you, Katriel. No one shall escape the valley, also shall perish. The plain shall be destroyed, as Yah has spoken. Give wings to Moab, that she may flee and get away. For a city shall be desolate, without any to dwell in them. Cursed is he who does the work of Yah deceitfully. Cursed is he who keeps back his sword from blood. There's a time and place for everything. Moab has been at
ease. And it's not just on the nation of Israel to do Yah's work. It's on Ishmael, Moab, Esau, all of our cousins to do the work of Yah. Because all of them come from Abraham's teachings, right?
Right. And they're Shemitic. They're not Israel or Yehuda, but they're Shemitic people.
And they're our family.
Exactly. Exactly. Key point. Moab has been at ease from his youth. He has settled on his dredges, the bottom of the barrel. It has not been emptied from vessel to vessel. He's been had it good, nor has he gone into captivity like us. Therefore, his taste remained in him. He has the essence of what he is, who he is, and what he's about. His scent has not changed. Therefore, behold.
So, young food, let me stop you right there. Because who's their God?
Shemos.
And they think that their God is more powerful than our God, because they see, they look, they understand what's going on with us. But do they really understand what's going on with us? Because if we had been in tune with our God, we would have shown our cousins that our God is way more greater than Kamosh.
Exactly.
But the form that they had was working for them. You worship at an idol? You haven't been judged. Yah hasn't put his fist of fury on you yet. Oh, but now he's turning his attention to you.
Exactly.
Because you're supposed to know them.
Exactly. And that's why I say, I believe they knew about Yah, I-L-M. But they killed us. But they created their own gods. It was working for them. They had no captive. They had no problem. The remnants of that thinking, the taste remained in them. And his scent has not changed. They kept on doing what they were doing. It was working for them. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Elohim, that I should send him wine workers who would tip him over and empty his vessels, break the bottles. Moab shall be ashamed of their god Shemos, as the house of Israel is ashamed of Bethel, the house of Yah, their covenants. Just like we were ashamed of Yah for no reason at all, they will be ashamed of Shemos, their God, because they have a good reason to be ashamed of it. And it's a shame on us right here. This that last statement in verse 13, as the house of Israel was ashamed of the seal of their confidence.
Well, yes. We brought shame to the creator of heaven and earth.
Exactly.
And they were so proud of their God because they didn't bring shame to their God, and their God was working for them. So they're looking at the creator and our people we chose and saying, that ain't working.
Right.
That ain't working. Our God is working for us. So yeah, we brought shame to Yah. Y'all brought shame to us, but we brought shame to him first, which is why the nations can mock us. The God you're serving, look, he put you in captivity. Ha, ha, ha. Our God has not put us in captivity.
Right.
Okay?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Great point. In verse 14, how can you say we are mighty and strong men for you? Moab has been gone up from her city. A chosen young man has gone down to the slaughter, says the king, whose name is Yah of hosts. Point blank, I'm the king, Yah of hosts. Ain't no Shemosa, nobody else. You guys on an uptick. You're on an uptick. Rather in this case, a downtick. Because you are going into captivity. You don't have your mighty men anymore, strong men for war, because of your confidence in Shemos. And he says, I'm Yah. I'm the Elohim. I'm the creator of everybody, all nations, so to speak, by virtue of that statement. The calamity of Moab is near at hand, and his affliction come quickly. Bemoan him, all you who are around him, and all you who know his name. Say, how the strong staff is broken. Beautiful rod, Moab. O Dara, inhabitants of Dibon, come down from your glory and sit in thirst. For the plunder of Moab has come against you. He has destroyed your strongholds, or inhabitants of Or. Stand by the way and watch. Ask him who flees and her who escapes. Say, what has happened? Moab is shamed because of their God and gods. He is broken down, wail and cry. Tell it in Arnon that Moab is plundered and judgment has come on the plain country, on Holon, region in Moab, Jazaz, Bahatha, Dibon, and Nebo, Beldiblatham, on Kajardom, Belgomoth and Beth Meon, on Karahath and Bozar, on the cities of the land of Moab, all those cities, far and near. The horn of Moab is cut off the strength. Horn making reference to the strength of Moab is cut off, and his arm is broken, says the Elohim. Make him drunk, because he insulted himself against the Elohim. Moab shall wallow in his vomit. He shall also be in derision. For was not Israel a derision to you, or going to be in derision? And because of the fact you considered the nation of Israel a derision to you, flip the script on you. Was he found among thieves? But whenever you speak of him, you shake your head in scorn against my nation. You who dwell in Moab, leave the cities and dwell in the rock, and be like the dove which makes her nest in the sides of the cave's mouth. We've heard pride of Moab. He is exceedingly proud of his loftiness and arrogance and pride. Most High hates this, and of the haughtiness of his heart. Most High hates this, and our cousin. Most High said, I know his wrath, says the Elohim, but it is not right. He lies. His lies have made nothing right. They're good at lying. Their lying has made nothing right. They lied against my nation. They tried to have a curse put upon them, tripped the script on them. They kept at them, and they kept lying against them. They kept saying, Yah is not the Elohim. They got the best God in the world, which is Shemosh and many more. They've been lying since the very conception, so it seems. Therefore, I will wail for Moab. I will cry out for all Moab. I will mourn the men of Kir-Hareth, Obion of Shammah. I will wail for you with the weeping of Zozar. I mean, he cared about him. Let's be honest. Most I cared about our cousins. Your plants have gone over the sea. You have incorporated your thinking, and you have sent out your way of thinking, and you have just like America do with us. America is a great exporter of their mindset toward us. Our cousin was just like them in their mindset toward us. They exported that across the waters, just like America exports its animosity about us over the waters. And he says they were doing the very same thing. Your plants have gone over the sea. They have reached the sea of Zarzut. The plunder have fallen on your summer, fruit in your vintage. Joy and gladness are taken from the plentiful field, from the land of Moab. I have caused wine to fail from the wine presses. No one will tread with joyous shouting anymore. No joyous shouting, says Yah. From the city of Heshbon to Elilah and to Zarzah, they have uttered their voices. From Zor to Horonam, like a three-year-old heifer, from the waters of Nimrim, also shall be desolate, all these regions in their country. The one who offers sacrifices in the high place, their priests, and burn incense to his gods, what I told you, they had many gods. Therefore, my heart shall wail like fruits for Moab. Like fruits, my heart shall wail for the men of Kir-Hareth. Therefore, the riches they have acquired shall perish. Just like any nation that has mistreated the Most High, has led them astray in disarray and dissolution. The same thing won't come to any other nation, as far as this Western Hemisphere is concerned. For every head shall be bald, and every beard clipped. And clipping someone's beard at that time was a sign of insult when you had to clip your beard. Remember when our people were sent out to this nation? I don't recall the nation right at Cartier, mate, and they cut half their beards off. That was an insult. And every beard clipped, an insult. On all the hands, they would be cutting themselves. And on the loin, sackcloth, a great lamentation. On all the houses of Moab, they're going to be on their roofs. Not on the rooftop like we were singing love on the rooftop. They're going to be singing lamentations on the rooftop of every household of Moab and in the streets. For I have broken Moab, and certainly it is broken. As a nation, they're loosely conglomerate all over the universe. But as a standstill nation, they're broken like a vessel in which is no pleasure, says the Elohim. They shall wail. How she is broken down. How Moab has turned her back with shame. So Moab shall be in derision like a whole lot of more nations, and a dismay to all those about her. But thus said the Elohim, behold, one shall fly like an eagle and spread his wing over Moab. Korah is taken. The strongholds are surprised. The mighty men's hearts in Moab on that day shall be like the heart of a woman in birth pains. And Moab shall be destroyed as a people. As I said, it is as a people, as a nation. But they're loose in the conglomerate now. Because he is, why were they destroyed? Key point. He exalted himself against the Elohim. Fear and the pit and the snare shall be upon you. That's anybody for that matter. O inhabitants of Moab, says the Elohim. He who flees from the fear of Yah, shall fall into the pit. And he who gets out of the pit shall be caught in the snare. You can't get away. It's going to be double trouble. And that's anybody else for that matter. For upon Moab, upon it, I will bring the year of their punishment, says the Elohim. Those who fled stood under the shadow of Heshbon. Why did they flee? And why would they just stand under the shadow of Heshbon? Because they couldn't go no more. Because of exhaustion. They couldn't run anymore. But a fire shall come out of Heshbon, a flame from the midst of Sheol, and shall devour the brow of Moab, the crown of the head of the sons of Tamar. Woe unto you, O Moab, people of Shemesh perish, the people of that God Shemesh perish. whom you put your hope, your trust, and your reliance, whom was your rock, whom was your shield, whom was the wing you hit yourself beneath, who made you haughty and lawful and proud against the Most High, the people of Shamos, that false idol, any other nation far as that is concerned. For your sons have been taken captive, and your daughters captive. His is love for our cousin. He still exercises a certain amount of love for all nations, especially in regards to our cousin, only if they get it right. Because I said, I made mention that Ruth was a Moab. She was a Moabite. The mother, the grandmother of King David. He said, warn to you, old man. He said, yet, 47, I will bring back the captives of Moab in the latter day, says the Elohim. Thus far is the judgment of Moab. There's going to be some Moabites. Not all of them. But some of them don't come back. I don't know for what reason the Most High is going to bring them back. He didn't tell me. I ain't got no phone call with him. But he said he's going to bring some of them back, our cousins. But the Most High do use nations for whatever reason. He used our Moab cousins. I don't know why he's bringing them back to be with us as cousins, ought to be with us. Or maybe to use them other things down the road against other nations. I don't know. He didn't, like I said, I don't have a red phone to the Most High. But I do know what he's saying. He's going to bring some of them back. And I do know this. Ruth, the grandmother of King David, was a Moabite. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to let Sister Yehudi, Sister Abia, and Brother Cartrill pick up the mics on this. May the Most High bless you and direct them in your steps. Praise y'all.
So let's get it straight. So therefore, while you're reading, you're talking about Moab.
Yes.
And don't forget Moses, both in Moab, about some covenant, too. Throw that in there. But it sounds like in this chapter that the Most High, like you said, have feelings, I don't know, the word isn't sympathetic. But had to punish them for what they were doing. And I'm quite sure they're still walking around today, scattered like we are. And this is why I think sometimes we have a hard time trying to come together as a nation. I don't mean just the physical aspect, but the mental, the spiritual aspect. Because we don't know who's Moab. We don't know who's Shemite. I think I'm pronouncing it right. So what do you do? And my suggestion is to continue to show love and dignity, but be wise in your approach in helping people and just living your life to the fullest. And try to weed negativeness out your system. But this particular chapter here, it seems like the Most High has somewhat of a reprieve, you know, with Moab, in a sense. And clarify that for me, Cartier. Please.
No doubt, Sister Yehudi. And the really only reason Moab has mercy from Yah is because of their father, Lot.
Uh huh.
He's the only one that escaped Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
Yeah.
And his daughters duped him into having intercourse with them because they thought that all humanity had been destroyed.
Well, then they didn't dupe them.
Oh, they duped him, definitely. They duped him.
Well, that means, you know what I'm thinking, negative. Think about it. If they thought that it was, this is from what your understanding is, that there's no more people, and I'm thinking, that doesn't sound right. Or did they know it was other people? What were they thinking? And you said duped. So we'll leave it like that. I mean, trying to break it down and trying to figure it out.
Because they thought that there was no other human beings left on earth, they got their father drunk in order to make him sleep with them.
Because they just probably knew he wasn't going to do it.
He wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have done it because he knew that it was just Sodom and Gomorrah. His daughters didn't know that. His daughters didn't. They were virgins. They never knew men. And the fact that they thought all humanity had been destroyed because they lost their mother, right? She turned around and turned into a pillar of salt. She thought, they thought that all humanity was destroyed, which is why they did what they did. But Yah, with his loving kindness and his tender mercies, knows the frailty of our thoughts, doesn't he? But
exactly.
That doesn't belie the fact that Moab, who is our cousin, and Ammon, who is his brother, they should not have had animosity towards their cousin, which we are, Israel, especially when we came out of the captivity of Egypt. When we came out of the captivity of Egypt, they immediately try to curse us. Why would your cousin do that?
Okay, let me ask one thing. Was that like with the daughters when they got the father drunk? Was that really like the beginning of the incest? Or wasn't it another something like that going on?
No, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah had just been destroyed. I'm not justifying what the daughters did, but in their small minds, what they saw was destruction. They thought the world was over with, for all intents and purposes. I'm not justifying a sensual relationship, and Lot really had no part in it. He was just a victim of circumstances. And so I think the blood turned bad toward us because of that situation. That was the catalyst, the triggering mechanism. From that moment on, and like Cartrell mentioned about Lot knew about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And I'm sure he told his sons about Yah, but they didn't want to hear no pause. They probably had animosity against Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed. Their mothers telling them that and everything. They probably had some animosity against their father. So it kind of poisoned relationship with the Elohim, I believe, because of everything that transpired because of that those incestuous relationships. It turned them against.
That's what I'm saying. That was actually like the beginning of it, right?
Yeah, probably the catalyst.
No, it was not.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
Let me break it down for you, all right? Who was Abraham married to? Sarah, his sister. Wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
So you come out incest. Most
okay,
I had
that's
Abraham
what, that's
marrying
what
his sister.
Go ahead.
Most I had Abraham marry his sister Sarah, who was the daughter of his father, to marry him. Why? Because there was no other suitable woman for our father Abraham, was there?
Okay.
Obviously. So, taking a cue from Abraham, the daughters of Lot, they didn't think about incest on that level, did they?
No. Okay, but see, that's what I was asking.
I see.
And what they saw in Sodom and Gomorrah, they knew wasn't natural. Men sleeping with men.
Right.
And probably women sleeping with women. They knew it wasn't natural. And they saw the destruction from the hand of the Almighty. And they thought that the Almighty destroyed the whole earth. Because they obviously didn't know Abraham and Sarah. And Lot didn't know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew the God of Abraham because he didn't know Isaac. Because Isaac
right.
wasn't even born.
Right. Yeah, that's right? What I wanted to know. Thanks for that clarification.
Lot knew the God of Abraham.
I think a lot of this is a hypothesis. We really don't know what they thought and what was the catalyst for that change. But there was a catalyst for that change for whatever reason. Like I said, I was there. Cartrell wasn't there. So we don't know what was the catalyst for the change. But there was a change taking place because of the fact Lot knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. So something triggered them to go against the Elohim. I don't know what it was, but something did.
Well, chronologically, we do know the facts. Lot did know Isaac, because when Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah, he made his choice. Sarah was without child. As a matter of fact, the angels had to go to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it, while one angel stayed behind to make sure that our mother Sarah got pregnant. And she didn't believe that she was going to get pregnant. So Lot didn't know Isaac until maybe he was born later on and he'd be connected. But he knew his uncle Abraham.
He knew the God of Abraham, Isaac. No, he didn't know Isaac.
He knew the God of Abraham.
Abraham.
He knew the God of Abraham.
Okay.
Lot knew the God of Abraham, his uncle, who he followed from Ur of Chaldees. That's who he knew. Isaac wasn't even born. Sarah was 99 or something years old, and she didn't have a child named Isaac. Lot is a man, and him and his uncle Abraham had to separate, which is why Lot chose the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham had to save him, which is why he had confidence in the God of his uncle, Abraham.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
No, it's just facts. I'm not coming from my own mind. I'm reading, you know. It's right there in the scriptures. Lot had a beef with Abraham,
yeah,
his herd.
Being that we was in Jeremiah, I didn't even think back to Abraham and Sarah. That's why I asked. But I needed the clarification anyway, so I.
So Moab goes back to Abraham, Sarah, and Lot, because they left Ur of Chaldees. And that's how we got the Moabites, who are our cousins. And their nation is older than our nation. Because Isaac wasn't born. Jacob wasn't born. The sons of Jacob weren't born. Lot had to jump his sons, Moab and Ammon, on building a nation. And the fact that Yah made Lot's sons two nations, Moab and Ammon, who are older than the nation of Israel, that's why they seem to be arrogant and prideful, because they were around longer. And they're older than we are. We came out of Egypt, you know, with Moses. But the Moabites and the Ammonites were already established. That's why when we came out of Egypt, Moab was waiting for us to curse us. Why are you trying to curse us? You're our cousin. You just came out of captivity. That's why Yah has anger towards them, because they've been our adversaries. And, you know, family feuds are stronger than strangers. You got fights in the family, those fights are stronger than fights outside the family. And for whatever reason, Moab picked a fight with us. And guess what? The Most High is dead to them right now. You plotted to destroy the people that I chose to make them not a nation. Now, you're not going to be a nation. But the Most High has loving kindness and tender mercy. And yes, Moab received this punishment for Yah. But in this punishment, the Most High always shows hope, doesn't he? Even for Moab. Moab got some hope, don't he? So people ask me, Moray, is there going to be other nations outside of Yah's judgment, outside of Israel, that's going to be saved? Yeah, Moab going to be saved. Most High said in a lot of days, what? You're going to bring Moab back.
In spite of all that they did, in spite of all that they did against us, he still got some love for them.
Yeah. And it didn't take somebody dying on the cross to get Moab back, did it?
What about Mother Mary or him? That they ain't going to help him?
I know one thing, Yasu. Moab better not be relying on Mother Mary or somebody that died on the cross for them.
Yeah,
Yah made
like
them a promise.
Yeah.
It's like he made us a promise. What do you say to Moab? He said Moab.
Right.
woe to you, the people of Chemosh are undone, for your sons are taken away in captivity, and your daughters in captivity. Well, I will reverse the captivity of universal white racist supremacy. Yeah, we all under that. Every human being on earth is under that.
You better believe it.
You plotted against us. You plotted against Yah, and all of us fell under what? Universal white racist supremacy. And Yah, so I'm going to liberate all of y'all from that. Moab, Ammon, Israel, Ishmael. I don't know about Edom, because Edom is down with universal white racist supremacy.
You better believe it.
Don't forget, still on the other nations existing.
Moab is one. Y'all going to say Moab. We don't know where Moab at, but trust me, if y'all say he in captivity, he's in captivity too. It's like the Egyptian.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You better believe it.
Excuse me, I'm munching. That's why I'm talking. Eat my taco.
And everything we've read, has nothing to do with religion, does it?
No.
We're talking about the history of peoples.
Mm-hmm.
And you never hear a Jewish man talk about Moab or Ammon or Ishmael, right? Why don't they talk about Moab, Ishmael, and Ammon, who plotted against the nation of Israel? Why don't they talk about them? Why don't they talk about the conspiracy? You know why?
Because
they're not Israel. Huh? It's not their history.
It's not their history.
Hold on. But if you Google Moab, Ammon, Ishmael, they're all there. It's not mythology that we're talking about. We're talking about history. It's not religion that we're talking about. We're talking about the history of nations and peoples, right?
You're talking about facts.
Kings of Moab, they don't exist no more. The kings of Ammon, they don't exist no more. The kings of Esau, they don't exist no more. And why don't they exist no more? Why don't the kings of Babylon and Assyria and Media and Persia exist anymore? They're not mythological. They're historical kings.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't they exist? They don't exist. Why? Because Yah's word is true. In history, not religion. That's where people make their mistake. We learn in Western universal white racist supremacy education. So they're not teaching you the truth. Especially
like
about who's who and what's what.
not like on the Real Talk Radio show. They certainly aren't.
Mm-hmm. Who's who and what's what? Why don't you teach Babylonian history? Nimrod, sons of Ham, Mizraim, Cush, Put, Lud. Why don't you teach about them? They still exist. Why don't you teach about the sons of Shem? Why don't you teach about the sons of Japhet? No, you start with Greek history. Plato, Aristotle, Socrates. Okay. And we got educated fools running around, starting with Greek history. That's why they pledge themselves in sororities and fraternity. Greek sororities and fraternity. But the Greeks didn't start history. The Greeks didn't make history. Matter of fact, the Greeks had Johnny come lately to the empires that existed before them. And why doesn't universal white racism supremacy teach about the existence of empires that existed before the Greeks? Start with the Greeks. Why? That's your beginning. That's not our beginning. And you won't teach our beginning because our beginning is greater than yours. And they never want you to know that. Young Negroes, colored, black, African American, colored. You never gonna get in touch with who your roots are. They've cut us off from our roots, haven't they?
Well,
effectively. Effectively.
Modern.
Are we cut off from our roots?
Well, we don't know where our land is. We can't go back now.
Are you calling yourself black, Negro, colored, African American, Democratic, Republican, Amy, Zion, Jehovah's Witness, Spa, Persona, Seventh-day Adventist? You're cut off from your roots, your history, your knowledge of self. If you're Muslim, you're cut off from your roots, your history, your knowledge of self. And that's devastating. And we wonder why our neighborhoods, our communities are devastated. Why our communities and neighborhoods devastated?
And don't you think that's so obvious?
Huh?
Look,
go ahead.
Okay. Now go ahead, Sister. Go ahead.
No, we're going to go to Psalms. That's what you said, probably.
But it's a problem, Sister Yehudi, is this. And that's universal. I mean, they can apply to any nation. When you don't have your own culture in place, and you're following a dominant, and you're subjected deep behind enemy lines, and you're under their influence, as we were under influence of Moab, our cousin. We wouldn't even be behind enemy lines. We were just near them in proximity. But then when you deep behind enemy lines, and you don't know who you are, what you are, and what you should be doing, you're subject to do anything. And our communities, truth be told, are a hot mess because our refusal to follow Yah, our Elohim. Our refusal to study Yah, our Elohim. Our refusal to emulate our own culture. Stop calling ourselves colors. Start calling ourselves by who we are and trying to approve or reach a censor by enemies to befriend them, because they're not going to never be our friends. So we're going to continue on that. We're going to continue in pursuit of non-happiness, our virtue, and our communities. As you look around, we don't know what to do. We don't know how to do it and when to do it. And we certainly don't know how to treat each other. And it's the evidence doesn't lie in our communities.
It starts with you. Starts with us.
Yamsu.
Yes.
What's the difference between a tree and a tumbleweed?
The tree and a tumbleweed? A tree is a tree that it grows. A tumbleweed is something that used to be part of a tree, a part of a bush, or a conglomerate, or both of them together. It doesn't have any roots. It's just rolling along, and we're just a tumbleweed. We're not those trees anymore.
So everybody around us are trees. Can we describe ourselves as trees or tumbleweeds?
Tumbleweeds. No roots, just being blown along by anything that comes along.
Okay, we know
and
that.
We wonder why we can't unite and connect with each other. If you a tumbleweed, I'm a tumbleweed, whichever way the wind blows us, that's where we going, right?
We're going to keep on tumbling and stumbling.
So you have to know your roots, don't you, in order to be planted firmly on solid ground.
You have to.
And every nation around us is what? Rooted and planted what? On solid ground, aren't they?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're not tumbleweed. We're the only tumbleweeds in the earth. Whichever way the wind blow, north, south, east, or west, that's the way we're going.
That's the way we go. Poster cheers for everything that's unsavory, unwise, unfounded, unconnected. We are a hot mess.
I know y'all say that all the time. Let's get some solutions. We already know we're all scattered. And we know all that. I want some solutions. And that's just learning our history and the scriptures, what we've been doing. You're doing a service.
We give them, Sister Hootie, you know, Sister, I love you. But you know we give them solutions. We tell them, turn your back, turn to Yah. We tell them, cry, ask forgiveness for your forefathers, for yourselves, and the continual nonsense that we remain in that keeps us separated. We tell them, gather yourself together, which means unify. We tell them, do what you can, how you can, when you can, however you can for each other, and stop being an astonishment running your mouth, talking loud and saying nothing, mistreating one another, cussing one another, being a spectacle in front of our enemies. We tell them that, sister Yehudi. What more can we
do? And if we're talking about, if we're talking about ancient fathers, we're talking about our roots, which means we're taking them out of the area of being a tumbleweed.
Exactly. Root up. Root up. That's what we got. Root up. Stop being a tumbleweed. Root up. Because you're not going to get anywhere like we are now. Unrooted. Just like Cartier mentioned, just tumbleweed. Tumbling all over the place. Folks cheering for everything. Except the right.
How do you gather tumbleweeds? How do you gather tumbleweeds?
You can't. You gather them just to burn them up. But that's about it.
Only the wind can do it. Only the Most High can do it. If you look at the science.
But here's the point. I see what Christ
said. Gathered together, they still, they all bunched up.
Well, see,
so let me tell you the secret. Because Yah has given us codes in order to gather tumbleweeds. He told Ezekiel the prophet, prophesy to the wind, because that's the only way you're going to gather tumbleweed. So speaking the prophecies and the plan of Yah is a must in the ears of our people. Our people have to know we have the choice of everlasting life or the choice of death. And death is the choice of following your tumbleweed ways. You don't want to be rooted. You don't want to be connected. You don't want to be grounded. You just want to be a tumbleweed. Whichever way you've been blow me, that's where I'm going. No, no, you got to be rooted. Got to be rooted. And the word of Yah gives us root.
Apply what you just said to the way we act in this Western Hemisphere. It's just like tumbleweed. I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do, and damn be everybody else. If that ain't a tumbleweed mindset, I don't know what it is.
You being hard, man. You calling our people tumbleweed, man.
But we are. But
ancestry.com.
Yeah.
It's on the websites to try to find your roots and your culture. No, dig deeper. There's a reason our enemy took our identity, who we are, our roots and our culture. There's a reason for it. And he did a thorough job. We're the only people walking around on the face of the planet that don't know their ethnicity or their nationality. We're the only people walking around with other people's names.
Our refusal to trust in the Most High, lean on the Most High, and think outside the box. We are contained in a box of their making. You have to think outside the box. You have to pray to the Most High and think outside the box. Otherwise, you're going to remain boxed in, okay?
Fortunate that our enemies are so thorough in their psychological warfare on us that our people are not even concerned about who they are. They prefer to be tumbleweeds.
And that's a shame. And that's a crying shame.
That's like the box being open. The top of the box is open and you won't get out of it.
No, they just run around. You ever seen that thing in the circuses and fairgrounds, the little motorcycles going round and around?
Yeah.
That's like we'll be out there with the motorcycle going round and round in that little circle, and that confined in that circle. And truth be told, there is solutions. Trust in the Most High, study His Word, apply His Word. There is solutions.
Yeah.
If there's solutions for Moab, shouldn't there be greater solutions for us?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, you get it. We get it. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are people out here who don't or are trying. I'm more positive for the ones who are trying because I was once there.
Exactly.
We can't forget where we came from.
You and I both.
We know what's going on. We know it. I already know about the Caucasian man. I don't even want to talk about him myself. I want to talk about it. I want to be more into us, who we are as a people.
Exactly.
I've been around them all my life. I don't look at their televisions and media. I've been around them. Their laws, their this, so that. I am more into us, loving us.
Well, sister, that's the same to some of us. Like I said, the box can be open. You could give them all information just like we get in the study. You could give them the same information. You open them up. But if they refuse to come out of that box or to accept this information, there is nothing else you can do.
And I don't get upset about it. That's what I'm saying.
Right,
you know what?
Right.
They sound cold. I just move on to the next.
That's
to
it.
The next. I don't worry
but
about
the silver
it.
Lining,
I talk about it because I'm aware of it.
Yeah.
The silver lining, all that we're saying, is that we're still a blessing even under the curse. Even in the oppression, even in the land of our captivity, we're still a blessing to everybody around us. They want to walk like us, talk like us, dress like us, sing like us, dance like us, and we're under the curse.
So that's
the silver lining. When we get our acts together, those that hear, those that have a heart, those that have knowledge to understand that Yah has chosen us amongst all the peoples of the earth, and we don't have to follow them. They got to follow us. Following us in our humility, in our service, as service to the Most High, that's when that's when peace in the earth is going to reign supreme. We trying to follow them, and it's not working for us. We have to go back to our roots, and Yah created us from our roots to be his servants. We have to understand our role. It's not like any other nation on the earth. And we have the codes that Yah left for us. All right? When the nation starts following us in righteousness and in holiness, that's when we're going to have peace on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Us following them is only going to bring about war and destruction. That's who we follow. Mm-hmm. We're following the serpent seed. So the serpent seed got to be destroyed. We have to connect with our roots in order to be firmly planted, in order to receive the promises that Yah gave to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom he loved so much, that's what we got to return to. There's no better shield. There's no better place of refuge. There's no better hope than that. There's nothing that man can promise you. There's nothing that the nations can promise you that equal with the promises that the Most High, creator of all things and everything, has promised us as his servant, the nation of Israel. We just have to know his message and tune ourselves in. And our people refuse to do that. We hard-headed, we stiff-necked, we leaning on our own understanding. We refuse to humble ourselves and truly seek out Yah's word. And praise be Yah that he's given us his blog talk, real talk for real people show. To do the due diligence that the nation of Israel is supposed to be doing. Everybody that's an Israelite, who calls themselves an Israelite, should be on these calls every night because we're going from Genesis to Malachi. Right? That's what we do, right? Genesis to Malachi, chapter by chapter. And we're uncovering every word of Yah in the scriptures. Uncovering every word. We're not leaving anything undone. Every T crossed, every I dotted. We're covering it all. And those who refuse to be on the call or in the study, it says something about them.
It is what it is.
We are who we are. Hard-headed, stiff-necked, pride and arrogant Israel. We refuse to humble ourselves. With all the tit-tat chatter we talk, where's the humility? We should all be on this call. Everybody who knows they're Israelite, you should be on this call. Because what do? We study Yah's word from Genesis to Malachi, chapter by chapter. That's what we do.
Praise Yah. Hallelujah. All right, Cratrell. If you're ready to give us a beautiful song, we're all ears.
Oh, yeah.
Psalms 48, Songs of Korah.
These songs are spiritual power. And do you know they say songs heal people? They use
they
songs
do.
In hospitals to heal people.
They do.
I know you know.
What?
And how great are these songs that we're reading? They say songs, but they're really songs.
Best ever written, Cartier. Best ever written.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Gave me strength. Gave me power. Gave me might. Helped me conquer my fears. Because I model myself after King David. I know I ain't King David.
Right.
But I'm looking at the path that he walked. And that's the path I'm walking. If it's good enough for the king, guess what? It's good enough for me.
Good enough for me. Great job.
If that's how you got your strength, King David, I want some of that, too. I don't know about you, but I'm getting my strength where King David got his strength from. Yeah, you can marvel at me all you want, but trust me, I rely on Yah as much as King David did, if not more. All right. So we're in Psalms 48, another composition of the Sons of Korah. And who are the Sons of Korah? What tribe did they come from?
Levites.
That's right. And we know King David set it up where these Levites had a whole village of singers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these are the singers that King David constructed, the sons of Korah. Psalm 48. Great is Yah, and greatly to be praised. So it ain't no small thing when you give praise to Yah, because all the angels, all his creation, everything he made except for man and the nations give praise to Yah regularly, 24/7. How about us? How about us? In the city of our Elohim, in his holy mountain. Again, Yah reminds us that the communication between God and man is not in heaven, but it's right here on earth. What is Yah's holy mountain? What's the name of it? Do y'all know?
Mount Zion.
Mount Zion.
Mm-hmm.
You get a golden star, Yam Su.
Thank
Mount
you very much.
Zion is the holy mountain.
I'm going to put it up with the many more I got with the golden bears. my wife said I'm the teacher's pet.
You get a gold star, brother, because you're quick on the trigger and you came up with the right answer. Yah's holy mountain is not in heaven. He calls it Zion, Jerusalem, right?
Exactly.
And unfortunately, we don't know about Jerusalem or Zion, but guess what? Our slave ancestors did. They sang mm-hmm. songs like, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching onward to Zion, that beautiful city of Yah. You heard that song, right?
Exactly.
In case y'all didn't, that's a Negro spiritual. So our ancestors that came over here as slaves, they were singing about the beauty of Zion. So check this. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Mount Zion. Our slave ancestors knew the beauty of Mount Zion, didn't they?
Exactly.
On the north side, the city of the great king, Elohim has shown himself in her citadels as a refuge. Is Yah your refuge? Israel?
Yeah.
Are you preparing a doomsday bunker? You depending on American military. What's your refuge? What's your refuge? That's my question. What is your refuge? For behold, the kings assembled themselves. They passed by together. They saw it. Then they were amazed. They were dismayed. They hurried away. Trembling took hold of them. Pain as a woman of travail. You talking about kings being as a woman in travail? What happened? With the east wind, the ships of Tarshish. Yeah, they can't stand them hurricanes and them tornadoes, can they? I don't care how mighty man thinks they are, right?
True.
I seen the Most High rip houses apart like a nuclear bomb hit it from the winds. As we have heard, so as we have seen. Have you seen it? Have you seen tornadoes? Have you seen hurricanes? The damage that the winds, the east winds that Yah brings? Because those hurricanes come from the east, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Do hurricanes come from the east?
Mm-hmm.
And how devastating are hurricanes? Just ask the people in Katrina. How devastating are the east winds of Yah? You break the ships of Tarshish, as we have heard, so we have seen. We can bear testimony to the winds of the east, Hurricane Katrina, in the city of Yahweh of hosts, in the cities of our Elohim. Elohim will establish it forever. How long is forever?
Eternity.
We have thought about your loving kindness, Elohim. Why are you showing love to Moab? You try to kill us from jump. But Yah's loving kindness extends beyond what we understand, right?
Exactly.
Is Yah showing loving kindness to Moab after what they did?
Certainly is.
We just read it. Y'all going to bring back Noah because he's going to get it right. He's going to know that I'm God. So we know Yah's loving kindness, especially towards his people, Israel, who he chose, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're dependent on, Yah's love. Because what we do, how we do every day, we should be like Sodom and Gomorrah. And what happened to them? Okay. We depend on Yah's loving kindness, Elohim, in the middle of your temple, not our temple, not our camps, not our synagogues, not our churches, but whose temple?
The Elohim's temple.
Where's that temple going to be?
In Jerusalem.
On his holy hill of what?
Zion.
And who does he call Zion? Y'all women of Israel, daughters of Zion, y'all connected with that. Don't y'all know? Y'all connected with that, the beauty of Zion. It's y'all you're talking about, the hills. You connected with that holy mountain, daughters of Zion. He don't say sons of Zion, though he don't say sons of Zion. He say daughters of Zion.
Yeah, those that are connected with the Most High, yeah, they are certainly connected with them. They're certainly connected because right now, our sisters are unfortunately connected with a hot mess, twerking and working and talking loud and saying nothing.
So, I'm gonna bring two dots together for y'all. All right.
Okay.
Zion, that's a place. It's a holy place, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a territory, isn't it?
Exactly.
And a lion without territory is what?
Our sisters.
A lion without territory is a scavenger,
he? Right.
A male lion that gets kicked out of the pride by some other dominant male lion, he lost everything, right?
Right.
He's on the outskirts, isn't he?
He might well be hanging out with the hyenas.
Okay, so and he does, because he tried to get what the hyenas got.
Right.
Because he's a scavenger now.
Right.
And the men of Israel, guess what we are?
Hyenas. Scavengers. I ain't lying. You said, all you want, sister, I ain't lying. Scavengers.
So my point is that when Yah connects the daughters of Zion, and he don't say the sons of Zion, he says the daughters of Zion, which connects them with the land, not just the land, but the holy land, it shows you that That's our territory. Our women and our land are connected.
Exactly. And we need both of them. We cannot make it without both of them. It's true.
And a lion without territory, he ain't nothing, is he?
Yeah, and certainly without a lioness, he ain't nothing. He just sitting on a rock looking at nothing. He ain't got no land. He just sitting on a rock looking at nothing. Ain't got no lioness. Ain't got no land. Just sitting on that rock looking for something to scavenge.
So I only say that to, we have to esteem our women in our nation, our mothers, our daughters, our wives, our sisters. We have to esteem them because without them, we scavenger lions on the outskirts. And our daughters, our mothers, our sisters, our wives have to reconnect with the land more than anything, because they are connected with the land. We call the earth what? Not Father Earth. What do we call the earth?
Mother.
Okay.
Mother.
That's not our realm, son. We don't give birth. We just plant seeds. All we do is plant seeds. Okay.
Right.
That's why the indigenous said Mother Earth, because they knew the connection. They understood that aspect of it.
And without Mother Earth, you cannot live, can you? She gives you water. She gives you food. She gives you energy. She gives you strength. Pretty much, she's like Yah's servant. She gives us what we need.
And without the land and her, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, all he left us was alone.
Yeah, so that lion ain't planting no seed unless he got some territory, right?
Truth be told,
the females ain't dealing with him unless he got some territory, right?
You better believe it.
So we need our sisters, our mothers, our daughters to think about what? Not America, but your homeland, your inheritance, what belongs to you.
Mm-hmm.
And Yah's equating his holy place, Mount Zion, with the daughters of Zion. You get it? We ain't the sons of Zion. You talking about the daughters of Zion. We the sons of Yah, and y'all are daughters of Zion, which connects y'all with the land, Mother Earth. All right?
Just like any good lioness, she's connected with the land.
Yeah. And if a man ain't got no land, she ain't with him, is she?
You better believe it.
And we wonder why we got problems. What territory do we control as black men, brothers? What territory do we control here in America?
None.
That we could give our women to flourish.
None.
That's why we understand y'all beef with us. We understand y'all don't respect us.
Well,
we can't protect you. We can't provide for you. We're not making land secure for you so you could do what you do. You're frustrated with us. We try to be kings of the jungle without territory.
We're rolling tumbleweeds. Papa was a rolling tumbleweed.
Yeah, so it's worse than that.
Yeah.
Because we cowardly lions, right? From
just
the
like
Wizard of Oz.
Put them up. That's what we do. Put them up. Cowardly lions on the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, we lions, but you're a coward.
Yeah.
What did he say in Genesis, Katria? Remember when he handed out with Adam? Remember?
No.
The spoil he'll have, the spoil from the soil, the hardships that he would have.
Yes. That was his burden.
Yeah.
That's the curse on the earth. Because the earth in Adam's time, had he not dipped into the powers that Yah told him not to dip into, would have had the earth yield its strength to him.
Yep.
He didn't have to do farming.
Mm-hmm.
All he had to do was go out in the field and go out and eat. He set up every tree of the field. You could eat them. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he did it anyway, didn't he?
And first,
and once I said now,
you know, blame the woman. I'm like, what? You made that decision.
Well, what was Adam going to do? Let his wife die and him stay there alone?
I mean, I wasn't there. The point I'm looking at that he blamed is his wife instead of, you know, but both of them got punished equivalent to what they did. The woman didn't get punished more so than the man. They got equal punishment that applied to their situation. And that's another thing.
Well, I know women of today say they can do, and they're just as smart as men, right?
I've heard that. And?
And if Yah gave Adam the instruction and he gave Eve the instruction, they was on the same level, wasn't they?
Right.
And she stumbled and fell before him, didn't
doesn't
she?
Doesn't matter.
Huh?
Doesn't matter? It happened.
Well,
if the analogy is right, this is discussion. I'm not saying you're wrong. Today, men hold, not all, some that I know, hold women more responsible. And I say, how could that be? You both, if the man is the way he is and the woman is the way on both accounts.
Do you know what the Most High said? You can listen to the debate of men as who was responsible. Who is the Most High say was responsible?
Who was the what most responsible?
Who did the Most High say was responsible?
Both
what was his judgment? All of them. He didn't just separate, oh, you did it first, Eve, so I'm going to be less lenient. I'm going to be lenient on Adam because you let him into it. No, he pronounced judgment on both of them. Simultaneously, he didn't distinguish one from the other. He just asked them the question, why'd you do it? Adam pointed a finger, Eve pointed a finger. Only way he pointed a finger because he ain't had no hands was a serpent.
He dished out the punishment that was equivalent to their physicality. Point blank.
He dished out punishment based on the decisions that they made. And both of them had equal decisions to make, didn't they?
We're both right. When I say that, it's because I'm thinking ahead for what's going on right now, where a woman bears children. She didn't have to have any pain. Now she has pain in bearing children. Her whole insides are open up. The bones are separated and designed for her husband. And it's true, a lot of women will be the other woman or what have you. Number two, a man built to overpower a woman on a physical or intellectual aspect, but he just thought that he would have to toil. It would be very difficult for him to be what? Successful, too. It's a lot of aspects, but I'm agreeing with you. I'm breaking it down from relationships today, but I'm not disagreeing with you.
The Most High wasn't looking for finger pointing, was he? He was looking for accountability. That's all he was looking for.
For both.
For both of them.
Yeah. And
they tried to shun accountability, both of them.
Right.
You can't shun accountability. You have to be accountable for your sins. And that's why Yah loved King David. Because he was accountable. He didn't point fingers. He like, yo, I messed up. Man, forgive me, Yah. I'm accountable. That's the difference between Adam and Eve and our King David.
Mm-hmm.
They point fingers. King David ain't point no fingers at nobody.
There you go.
He looked at himself.
And we do that today, and I'm saying that's fair that we're still doing that today.
But the Most High gives us wisdom and enlightenment to see the lessons to be learned. My mother, Sergeant Ma, said you can learn something from everybody, what to do and what not to do. I'm like, yo, those are words that I treasure. I wear them around my neck because I don't have to experience everything. I just watch you. You the guinea pig, not me. You going that way? I see what happens. That's not for me. Mm-hmm. Okay?
That's right.
So we must learn our history in order to learn what to do and what not to do. Don't point fingers. Take responsibility. Like our king who set the example, King David. He ain't pointing fingers. He knew it was him. It's me, y'all. It's me. There's more sin on me than the hairs on my head. King David never pointed his finger at anybody but himself. And we got to learn how to do that. Because we look at outside forces, oh, well, I did this because him, my teacher, my priest, my moray. No. Yeah, I ain't looking for that. You pointing your finger. Take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Be accountable for what you do and acknowledge what you do, whether good or bad. And we all do bad. We all do bad. Ain't nobody perfect. He's got to acknowledge it to the Most High and him alone because he sees you. You can't hide it from him. He knows you're good. He knows you're bad. And when you do bad, guess what you got to do? Guess what you got to do? You just got to correct it. Like, wow, mm-hmm. I messed up. I'm so sorry. It's like our king, King David. I slept with Uriah's wife. Damn, I don't know what the heck I was doing. I'm in the eyes of all the people. Please forgive me, y'all. I know you're going to bring punishment, and I will accept the punishment that you bring me because I know that I did wrong. And he had to endure y'all's punishment, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He knew, too, when his son died. He knew it. He just trying to mourn, but he knew.
Okay, so again, we're going to have to let Cartrell finish up the last two verses so we can chat. Yeah, let's let Cartrell finish up so we can chat.
So where did I stop? I didn't even know I stopped. We got so lost in the Twilight Zone.
Verse
10. Because the loving kindness of Elohim in the middle of your temple. As is your name, Elohim, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. And all nations should be praising Yah, because he created them all. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Yah is just. Yah is merciful. Yah is balanced. Let Mount Zion be glad. He ain't talking about heaven. And check it. I connect y'all with Zion. He's speaking about the daughters. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgment. So you see Zion, and you always see the daughters. Walk about Zion and go about her. Number its towers. Notice her bulwarks. Consider her palaces that you may tell it to the next generation. For this Elohim is our Elohim forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. And that's me. From 14 till now, until I can't kick it no more, Yah's going to be my God forever and ever. Hopefully, you'll get the clue, you'll get the message, and you'll link right in. Don't worry about man. Don't worry about nations. Don't worry about peer pressure. Don't worry about your friends, your family. You better connect with your creator forever and ever. Let him be your God.
Even to the death.
Even to death.
Praise y'all. So now we can get a little chatty, and Cartrell's finished. So if anybody feel like chatting, now is the time. Thank you, Sister Avia, for keeping us on point. Thank you, Cartrell, for that beautiful study and the Psalms. And thank each of you for your commentaries in this regard. So the floor is open for you.
Okay. We're talking about accountability. I like that subject. But you know what? Another example we can be just by our character. That somebody will look at the character who you are and it can inspire them. It's not, you know, we have to be that example.
And we're not going to have friends. People aren't going to like us. But if we carry ourselves in such a way with dignity, I know it was. I've experienced, we all have experienced it on this song. We all have experienced it. And it's a good feeling, I ain't gonna lie. When someone says something positive, I take it for what it is. They can tell little fibs and lies, but that's their choice. I know the Most High got me. And that's what's important. In trials and tribulations. And I talk to him. Sometimes he answers, sometimes not. And we know when he answers. Sometimes we don't like the answer.
Unfortunately, most of our people don't know these codifications. If most of our people knew the codifications that we're reading right now, we wouldn't be under oppression. And people would fear us because we have the codes of our ancient fathers. So they attempt to keep us away from the codes of our fathers to the best of their ability. So we see from the codes that we're reading that you have to be connected with the Most High. Daughters of Zion, sons of Judah, because this is our refuge, this is our strength, this is our spiritual power over the nations. We read yesterday, the Most High said he will subdue the nations under our feet. He doesn't say that for any other nation but us. But we don't follow the codes that Yah's given us in order for that to happen.
Because we got a lot of distractions. There's a lot of good people in this world, though. The fact that people are at a level where they are. And it's too much for me. I'm a good person. There's too much information out here for people not to know something. Too much. Yeah, we can say too much information can confuse you, but it's more open now. Like you talked, you guys have talked many times that, yeah, give them one of our people a book where they read. At one point, you couldn't even read. It wouldn't allow us. But now, we can go anywhere we want. And, yeah, some of us don't take advantage of what we've learned, pass it down. But there's some out there that's doing it. We just know it's not making a significant dent. But we also recognize this is a nation that has other nations involved. There's no other nation but the United States that have the Chinese, the Italian, Japanese, India, Scotland, England, all types of nations. You don't see that in India, Afghanistan. And everybody look alike. China. You can be an African American, Italian American, Chinese American. And because the way this nation was founded, this nation's gonna always have conflict. But it's something I said years ago, and I'm going to hold true to it until I'm proven wrong. When our president of the community organization was upset because it appeared that no one wanted to work with him, and I gave him some suggestions. I said, work with the elders. They've been here since the 60s. They know what's going on. They work with the young ones that are willing to work with you. I said, don't worry about what somebody is. Work with the one. First be open enough and listen because you didn't grow up over here. So listen to them. They can help you help the organization. It's not that I don't hurt for my people. Not that I don't mourn for my people. But I don't give on a general level a pass. If you don't know, why? You don't have time to say, I can't help you. That's not me. If you're willing, and we can have a dialogue, fine.
Well, do you want to learn? I say, well, it's real talk. It's directions I can point. If they don't want to go, nothing I can do about it. And even if individually, we collectively, like Yamsu in his daily life with his family and his conduct, Patriel, myself, and Avia, so we are a nation. Us, it's on this line. No, we don't have the military might. A vast government structure, we do, but it's not acknowledged by the nation, but it's acknowledged because it's the most high that put forth. And y'all call it the code. So there are laws. And just because it's a small scale, think about King David and Goliath. Think of the mustard seed, how big it grows. So we got to start small sometimes. It's frustrating. We look at our people and we see the crime that's taking place. The misleading of knowledge. It hurts. But at the same time, I know for me, I got to keep loving. I got to keep them with common sense and wisdom. I have to keep loving my people. That's my first priority through the Most High. Well, the Most High is my first priority. If he wasn't, I wouldn't love my people. Let's put it like that.
You better believe that.
See? Clean that up quick. He's number one. You know? So that's a lie. Somebody say, I love my people. Then you don't love your people. You don't love yourself.
Right.
You know, they're not complicated. The Most High isn't complicated. It's what people put in the pot that's complicated. So we got to continue to love one another. Continuously. The only way we can do that is we draw strength from the Most High over and over and over. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I agree with you. So, but not only draw strength from the Most High, draw humility, just like Katra made reference to the King Dog. His humility. Yeah. His humility. If you don't have that key component, nothing's going to work for you.
I draw strength from everybody on this line.
Right.
Who? And it's inspirational when I hear read about the prophets and King David and Saul and learning at that time the Most High saw the heart of the people.
Right.
Or people want to get off in polygamy and I'm saying, no, not what you think.
Right.
And we we don't get too upset, but sometimes it doesn't bother me because we're not in our lane. I've been accused, for example, oh, who are you to say that we can't do the Sabbath? I said, you can mess on the Saturday if you want to. Yeah, nobody says you can't. They just say if you think this is something the Most High, then you're in error. But I'm not saying you can't. I mean, if you want to rest on Saturday, cool. I don't have no argument with that.
Right.
That's a choice.
Right.
So I don't get into that. It's one of the things I don't get into. I want to help build this nation. I don't care if I'm a fat. I don't care if I'm that little bitty piece of puzzle. That little bitty piece is still important.
Well, I just speak on that because my father, Warren Yosef of New York, a Roman Catholic, when he married my mother, he learned that the Roman Catholic Church wasn't teaching him the truth.
Right.
And that burning desire for my father to learn the truth,
mm-hmm.
he went through Black Judaism, but he wasn't satisfied.
Right.
And he taught our people in New York, most of the Israelites in New York, know that they're Israelite as a result of my father.
Mm-hmm.
Because he brought us out of the Catholic Church, the Roman Church, all these denomination of churches and taught our people that we were Israelites. So most of the Israelites in New York that know the Israelites is a result of my father's diligence to find out the truth about who we are. So
the Most High utilized, it was in your dad's heart. It was a burning desire he had. And see, this is what I've understood. People are here for a reason and a time and a season. Just like us, we had to crawl before we walk, and then we ran. If he didn't do that, where would these people be? Now it's up. It's up to those people. It's up to the ones who taught. Now what they're gonna do? So if he did all what he can do under the auspice of what he knew at the time, and this is equated to how the Most High dealt with the people at the time, a certain person.
So if it wasn't for Rabbi Matthews, who was a black rabbinic Jew, who met with King Haile Selassie of Ethiopia, my father wouldn't know who he was, and I wouldn't know.
What was your father's name?
My father is Murray Yosef.
Oh, Murray Yosef. Okay.
Right. He broke our people out of black Judaism. Because that's what he learned.
Yeah.
And the fact that our people, he brought them to that level, he gave them a foundation to take it even further. So,
you carried even further. You get what I'm trying to say?
Which is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you carried it.
Our teachers that came before us, they did what they could do in order to lift our people out of idolatry and slavery. But they're not our liberators. They're not our, you know, people that we look for salvation. But they planted us back into our roots. And they weren't perfect, and we're not perfect. Yah's going to make us perfect. That's who's going to clean us up and put us in a position that we're supposed to be in. Because in the midst of our captivity, we cannot deliver ourselves. And Yah has to clean us up from this punishment, from the curse, from the pollution, from the indoctrination of, you know, our slave masters. And that takes time. And none of us has the complete truth because we're not complete as a nation. So bits and parts, bits and pieces that we've gotten, we have to build on what we've gotten. So Yah brought those men forth to bring us out of mental slavery. We Negroes, we black, we colored. These men sacrificed their time, their effort, their energy to let us know we're not none of that, that we are Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to take it a step further. Not only are we Israelites, we're a nation. And we're not imitating Catholicism, Islam, or anything else. We have to formulate ourselves as a nation. So the next generation has to take the baton and take the foundation of what our teachers gave us and move it forward.
Yeah, and even go further.
Oh,
and that's
okay, Sister Hootie, I know you want to continue talking, but it's time to get out of here. Cartrell is right.
I was just going to say that. That's it.
Yeah, Cartrell is right. We got to build on what we've been given, and we got to keep it moving at the end of the day. But the bottom line is this. None of us are perfect, as Cartrell alluded to. Just keep building on what you're working on. Do your part for this nation. As a matter of fact, go to Yah. Gather.us help in the rebuilding of this nation. Also, get your new heart and spirit like King David, that you don't seek fault in everybody. You don't look for excuses because you're finding fault in universal white race supremacy or each other. That you look at what part you're playing. What part am I playing? That's all we can do. And to learn to be humble in the process, as Kartri alluded to, King David didn't seek nobody to find fault in. He found, what part did I play? And we all need to do that for this nation. What part did I play? And do the best we can with what we got. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night. Brothers and sisters, you like to say shalom and good night to the people.
Shalom and good night, family. Good night.
We love you, Israel. To all other nations, get with Yah, because that's our only salvation. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. with our blessings.
And Christ believe we'll be here tomorrow, Thursday, same time. Bless you all. Shalom.
Shalom.
Oh,